East of Eden by John Steinbeck, dramatized by Donna Frances Child.
When a child first catches an adult out, when it first walks into his grave little head, that adults do not have divine intelligence, that their judgments are not always wise, their thinking true, their sentences just. The gods are fallen and all safety gone. And there is one thing about the fall of the gods. They do not fall a little. They crash and shatter, and the child's world is never quite whole again. The story I wish to tell you begins with two half-brothers, Adam and Charles Trask. For many years, I worked for Adam Trask. I was his cook and, for a time, acted as mother to his children. But I am getting ahead of myself because, in order to tell my story, I have to begin when Adam and Charles were children. Adam was an obedient creature. He shrank from violence and contention and covered his life with a veil of vagueness. Charles was a natural athlete, gifted with muscle and bone, speed and alertness, and the competitor's will to win over others. He had a quick temper, and Adam was sometimes scared of him. But Charles looked after him, too. He fought any boy who challenged or slurred his brother and protected him from his father's harshness.
Adam! Charles! Look at you, Adam Trask. Your shirt's ripped to the elbow. How many times do I have to beat you before you take care?
And Charles would lie and say he had ripped Adam's shirt and take the beating meant for his brother. Charles felt for Adam the affection one has for helpless things, for blind puppies and new babies.
Now, come in the house. Your mother's got dinner nearly on the table.
Their father, Cyrus Trask, had been a private soldier in the Union Army during the Civil War. He came home with a wooden leg, which proved at once a certificate of his soldiering and a guarantee that he'd never have to do it again. He developed an excellent military mind and wrote articles in magazines critiquing the conduct of the war. He attracted the notice of Washington and became a military advisor to the Grand Army of the Republic. After the surrender of the Confederate Army at Appomattox, he continued his career with a secretaryship at the War Department, which afforded him and his family a very comfortable life on their Connecticut farm.
And then, well, unknown at the time, I told General Grant and General McClellan where they were wrong. Sit up straight, Adam. Could you pass the gravy, Alice?
Yes, Cyrus.
Well, I beg them to take my analysis of the situation. Alice, are you listening?
Yes, Cyrus.
What did I just say?
You were at Appomattox when General Lee surrendered.
I have not got to Appomattox yet. Why don't you bring in the pie, Alice?
Yes, Cyrus.
And don't cough all over the food. Boys, the army isn't perfect, but that's still the only honorable profession for a man. You don't expect me to use my influence in Washington, though, because I won't. You'll come up through the ranks, like I did. Which reminds me, you need to improve your aim with that new rifle I gave you, Adam. We'll go out tomorrow and do some extra target practice. I'll show you where you've been going wrong.
And that is perhaps where it started. But if it is uncertain where it started, there's little doubt about where it finished. It was summer. Adam was 16 and Charles was 15. The affection between the two boys had grown over the years, but there remained something dark about Charles, and his temper hadn't mellowed.
Kill him there, Skip! You get it! You
look at him with that pup. Getting him to fetch a stick. You'd think he was 8, not 38.
It's part of the training.
Good boy! Good boy!
That one's never going to be a bird dog, Adam. Probably run away if he saw so much as a woodcock up close. Not much of a birthday present, was it?
Nah. He likes it, though.
Come on, let's go in now.
Come on, Adam. Let's hit a few baseballs and see how far we can get them.
We should probably go in. It'll be dark soon.
Afraid I'll beat you? Don't be a sissy.
But...
just watch this.
Oh.
Look at that! A few more feet and you would have to go fishing out of the pond for me. Now you.
But I'll just miss.
Take the bat.
All right.
See that now? You didn't miss. You must be getting better. Someday you might even get it as far as the mailbox. You've got your stance all wrong. Adam, you got to get your feet further apart like this and keep your shoulder back like this.
That one nearly cleared the oak tree.
Sure made that cow run. Go on, here. See if you can hit the ball twice in a row.
All right. Well, look at that.
You beat me.
I bet I couldn't do it again. Not in a million years. I bet you can get yours a lot farther.
All right. This one's going in the pond. God damn it!
You only missed because you slipped a bit on the gravel. That one doesn't count.
I suppose you think that's funny.
I don't think it's funny. Anyone can miss.
Well, I'm not going to miss your head.
Well, oh, you slipped, that's all.
What do you think you're doing?
Nothing.
You're trying to take him away from me, aren't you?
I don't want to take anybody away.
You're a goddamn mealy-mouth liar. I took 6 bits and I bought Father a knife made in Germany for his birthday. 3 blades and a corkscrew.
Charles, don't.
Do you ever see him use it? I never even seen him hone it. What did he do with it? Did he give it to you?
No.
Thanks. He said like that. And that's the last I ever heard of a pearl-handled German knife that cost 6 bits. Did you spend 6 bits? Or even 4 bits? You gave him that mongrel pup you picked up in a woodlot. That dog sleeps in his room. And where's the knife? Where's the knife? I'm gonna put a stop to this right now.
It was dark when consciousness came back quick and frightening to Adam. He heard footsteps, and he dragged himself to a ditch by the side of the road. There was a foot of water in it, and grass grew up from its sides. Adam crawled into the water, being careful to make no splash. The footsteps came close, slowed, moved on a little, came back.
Adam? Adam, where are you?
From his hiding place, Adam could see only darkness. A sulfur match was struck. Charles raised it and peered around, and Adam could see the hatchet in his right hand.
Adam? You can't hide from me!
When the match went out, Charles struck another one and then another, moving on, searching the road for signs. At last, he gave up and threw the hatchet far off into the field.
God damn it!
For a long time, Adam lay in the cool water. He wondered how his brother felt, wondered whether his passion now chilling, he would feel panic or sorrow or sick conscience. But Charles was never sorry for anything.
Adam!
What happened to you?
I just want to go to bed.
Let me clean you up first.
No.
A fist of water.
No.
Why did he do it?
I don't know.
Don't you lie to me! Why did he do it? Now you tell me or... by God, I'll keep you standing here all night.
He doesn't think you love him.
I think it's time you went into the army.
No, Alan. No, I don't want to.
You come to the age.
What about Charles?
He won't be going.
Why not?
Because things in him have to be chained down and not let loose.
Why are you making me go?
You've got no proper fierceness, Adam. You let other people walk over you. Sometimes I think you'll never amount to a dog turd. But I love you better. I always have. Now, you go let your mother clean you up.
As soon as Adam was well enough, Cyrus took him the 40 miles into Marchville to see the recruiting officer who would send him to the West to fight Indians. As they entered the town, a girl of perhaps 11 years old sat on a low wall, uninterested in these passing strangers. But this was not to be the last time their paths would cross. Her name was Kathy Ames. Her hair was gold, her nose delicate and thin, her cheekbones high and wide. As though nature concealed a trap, she had a face of innocence. She was a liar, but did not tell harmless lies the way children do. She took pleasure when her lies caused other children to be whipped, and her father noticed she had remarkable luck in finding things, a gold charm, a little silken purse, a silver cross with red stones said to be rubies. Mr. Ames owned a tannery in the town and was well-liked and respected. Kathy made him uneasy, and with each passing year, his unease about her increased. Especially after that strange incident with James Grew.
What is it? Who are you?
My name is James Grew. I'm Kathy's teacher.
It's after midnight. What do you want?
I've got to see you alone. I've got to talk to you.
Young man, I think you're either drunk or sick. Go home and get some sleep.
It can't wait. I've got to talk to you.
Come and see me in the morning.
It can't wait, Mr. Ames. It can't wait!
Who was that?
A drunk. Got the wrong house. I'll go back to bed.
As Mr. Ames went back to his room, he thought he heard Kathy go out. In the morning, he heard that James Grew had been found with the whole top of his head blown off. The coroner figured he'd propped up the shotgun on two books to bring the barrel in line with his temple and then used the stick to push the trigger. No one could figure why he had done it. That night, at dinner, Kathy sat silent, eating with little dainty nips and wiped her mouth often on her napkin. Her father wondered what it was James Grew had wanted to tell him. Soon after her 16th birthday, a change seemed to come over Kathy, and one Friday morning, just as Mr. Ames was about to leave for the tannery, Kathy lay in her bed, staring at the ceiling.
Hurry up, Kathy. You'll be late for school. It's nearly 9.
I'm not going.
Are you sick?
No.
Then hurry, get up.
I've decided I'm never going to school again. Not ever.
Well, we'll just have to see what your father has to say about that.
What's going on here?
She says she's not going to school, not today, not ever.
And what does Miss Fancy think she's going to do instead?
I don't know yet.
Listen to that insolence. That's what comes from being so soft on her.
You will get out of that bed, and you will get dressed and go to school.
What will you do if I don't?
Are you going to let her talk to you like that?
Peggy, get the buggy whip.
You're gonna whip me?
Unless you get out of that bed this minute.
You wouldn't dare.
Your mother's right. I've been far too lenient with you, but by God, you will do what I tell you.
I will do what I please.
Here it is.
Now go downstairs, Peggy.
You touch me, and you'll be sorry.
Mr. Ames lashed at Kathy's legs with the buggy whip. He had never done this before and was frightened at the noise and hurt he was creating.
Now, will you ever talk like that to me or your mother again?
No. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
See, you remember who you are. And don't forget what I am.
I won't forget.
I hated to do that, Kathy, but I had to. We've spared the rod. Maybe we were wrong. No. Go and get ready for school.
Yes, Father. I'm so sorry, Father.
In the months that followed, Kathy was a changed girl. She helped out in the house, cleaning the cellar, stuffing papers all around the edges of the foundation to block the draft. When the doors stuck, she oiled the locks and the hinges. She kept the lamps filled and their chimneys clean. She invented a way of dipping them in a big can of kerosene that she had in the basement. She came into her father's office and helped with the business.
These invoices came in this morning. Would you like me to enter them into the purchase ledger?
If you wouldn't mind.
Not at all, Father.
I've got so much correspondence today. I still have to do the payroll.
I can do the payroll, if you want.
You sure you can manage it?
I've seen you do it lots of times. You'll have to open the safe for me, though.
About time you learned to do that yourself. Now, the combination is 12, 34, 16, 47, 39. Then you pull this lever. And there you are. You'll need to memorize the combination. You can't write it down.
Let me try. 12, 34, 16, 47, 39.
You've got a good head on your shoulders, Kathy. You might be running this business one day.
A few months later, Mr. Ames sent Kathy to the bank to pick up the payroll. Before she left the house, she went to the chicken yard and killed a pullet, draining its blood into a jelly jar. She hid it under the front steps and walked lightly, almost dancingly, to the bank. The fire broke out at about 3 a.m. The Ames's house had gone up like a rocket. Two bodies were found inside. When the Marchville coroner noted that the doors had been locked from the outside, it became a murder inquiry. The police went to Mr. Ames's office and found the safe open and papers scattered all over the floor. A broken window showed how the thief had entered. There were signs of a struggle and blood on the floor. A silver cross with red stones and a blue hair ribbon spattered with red were found among the papers. The ground for miles around was searched for new-turned earth, and likely pools were dredged. But Kathy's body was never found. The years passed, and the crime remained unsolved. While Adam was away in the army, Charles was spending most of his money and all of his energy on the farm. He cleared land, improved the drainage, built a new barn, and added 100 acres for planting tobacco.
Hello, Charles.
Adam, you here? I couldn't believe it when I got your wire. Never heard anything from you in 10 years. 10 years. And then all of a sudden you say you're coming home. Good God, you look thin.
I guess I am. And a lot older. I see you've been doing a lot of work here.
Yes, I have. I'll show you around later. You hungry? Come into the house, I'll fix you something. Sit down. You look tired.
That's a real bad sky you got there, Charles.
I know. I was clearing the pasture for plowing. I got this damn thing trying to plow out a stone. I guess I lost my temper at it. The crowbar came up and hit me in the forehead there. Looks like somebody marked me like a cow. And the damn thing just keeps getting darker. Salt, pork, and eggs all right?
Sure.
Did you get the letters I sent you?
Yes, I did.
And why didn't you ever write back? You could have let us know how you were, what you were doing.
I guess I didn't want to think about what I was doing.
I read about the campaigns in the paper. You kill Indians?
Yeah, we killed Indians.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I don't want to.
I thought you might let her go to the inn after supper. They got girls there now.
Girls?
Upstairs, pretty nice girls, mostly.
I'm surprised the cops let them come in.
I was too at first, but it's run by a guy called Edwards, and he's got a system. He owns places all over the state and moves the girls around every 2-3 weeks. I thought with you coming
home... Another night, Charles.
Sure.
What's Father been doing? You're still working for the War Department?
Well, no. I was going to write to you about that.
What's happened?
He's dead, Adam. About a month ago, just got pneumonia and went right out.
Is he buried here?
No. In Washington. Carried him a caisson with a flag over it. The vice president was there. The president sent a wreath. It was all in the papers with pictures, too. You want to see them?
Maybe later.
Did you love him, Adam?
What are you getting at?
Did you or didn't you?
No, I didn't. Sometimes I admired him, but most of the time, I hated him.
I just can't get it through my head. He loved you more than anything in the world.
I don't believe that.
You don't have to. He didn't like me. He didn't like anything I gave him. Remember that present I gave him? The pocket knife? I cut and sold a lot of wood to get that knife. And you gave him a pup. I'll show you pictures of that pup. He was at his funeral. And a colonel was holding it. It was blind, couldn't walk. And they shot it a couple of days later.
I don't see what you're getting at.
I loved him.
Tell me about Mother.
She died. I wrote you. So long ago now. She must have known for years what she had, but never said nothing.
Well, you know what Father was like. You even told him he had a stomach ache. He'd purge you so bad you thought your guts would come out both ways.
I guess he would have killed her off before the consumption ever did.
Charles... You want to say something, and you're walking around it like a terrier around a bush. You better say it before it bites you.
Adam, do you think it's possible for a father to be dishonest?
About what?
He made a will. Left everything equal to you and me. It's over $100,000.
You're crazy.
It's no mistake. And it doesn't make any sense. His salary was $130 a month. He paid his own room and board. He got 5 cents a mile and hotel expenses when he traveled. Where would he get that kind of money?
Maybe he had it all the time and we never knew.
No, he didn't have it all the time.
So where do you think it came from?
His discharge was with his papers the attorney sent me. And you know what? It says he went into the army in June 1861. He had 3 months training and he marched south. He was hit in the leg a month later and discharged in January.
I don't see what you're getting at.
He was not at Richmond in 1862. He was not at Gettysburg in 1863. And he was not at Appomattox in 1865. His whole life was a goddamn lie.
You mean you think he fooled all those people in Washington?
I know it. It's right there in black and white. And he's left us $100,000. It's a fortune. We can live the rest of our lives on it.
You say it like it was a jail sentence.
I think he stole that money, Adam. Think about it. He held down jobs in Washington, big jobs. He could have got into the Treasury, rigged the books.
You don't have any proof he stole anything. You just made that up because you don't know where it came from.
Then you think we should take it?
Of course I think we should take it.
Even if he stole it?
We'll use it well. Maybe we'll... go away, maybe to California.
I could never go away from here.
Well, let's see how it goes.
If Cyrus had been dishonest, he had done it well. No one ever asked about the money. Adam and Charles went to Washington to look at Cyrus's grave. They stood there a long time, then went away and didn't mention him again. When they came home, Charles went to the inn, drank some whiskey, and went upstairs with one of the girls. The whoremaster of the inn was Mr. Edwards. He didn't live in town. He ran his business empire from Hartford. He and his wife lived in a fashionable house in a fashionable area of the city, well away from his office in the back room of a brothel.
What do you want?
Are you Mr. Edwards?
Yes.
May I come in?
All right, but make it quick.
I understand you have some vacancies.
Well, what makes you think that?
I was asking around and somebody said I might be able to get work here.
And did this somebody tell you the line of work I'm in?
Yes.
I run a whorehouse, my dear. The girls do what I tell them. I beat them if they don't. If they get pregnant, they get an abortion, or they get out. And when they're too old to make me any money, I kick them out in the street. Is that the kind of work you're interested in?
I need the money.
Look, first of all, I don't take on pretty girls. Some guy might fall in love with a pretty whore, and that's bad for business. And I don't take on smart girls. Smart girls end up blackmailing the rich clients, which is also bad for business. So I only take on the stupid ones. I can see you're not stupid. I can see you are very beautiful. So, I think you should get out of my office and go back to Mommy and Daddy.
Oh, my father's dead, Mr. Edwards. Before he died, he let things go to pieces. We didn't know he borrowed money on the farm. I can't let the bank take it away from my mother. The shock would kill her. I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to beg. But I'm begging you, Mr. Edwards.
What's your name?
Catherine. Catherine Amesbury.
I just can't understand how a girl like you, a beautiful girl like you...
I thought maybe I could make enough to keep up the interest. Just the interest.
Mr. Edwards had made it an unvarying rule not to believe anything his girls said at any time. And here he was, a big, fat, grown-up whoremaster, leaning his stomach against his desk while his cheeks darkened with blood and excited chills ran up his legs and thighs.
Well, now, my dear, maybe we can figure out some other way to get you that interest money.
If Mr. Edwards had ever heard about someone like himself doing what he was about to do, he would have laughed. For he, as cold-blooded a whoremaster as ever lived, had fallen hopelessly in love with Catherine Amesbury. He bought a sweet brick house for her. He bought her every imaginable luxury, over-decorated the house, kept it over-warm. The carpeting was too deep and the walls were covered with heavy framed pictures. It was his first experience of this kind of love, and it nearly killed him.
Oh, darling, come in. I missed you.
Oh, what took you so long? I was ringing that bell for 5 minutes.
I was upstairs. Guess I didn't hear it right away.
I tried the key, but it didn't work.
I lost my key and had to have the locks changed. I was scared not to. Anybody could get in. I'll get a new one made for you tomorrow.
Here. I bought this for you.
What is it?
You'll just have to open it.
Oh! Oh, darling, they're beautiful. Are these real pearls?
Oh, do you think I'd give you anything else?
Oh, you're so good to me. Help me put them on.
I came around yesterday. You weren't in.
I went shopping. I have to go shopping, you know. Such a nuisance when I do. All those men who just stare at me in the street like drooling dogs.
I don't like the thought of men looking at you that way.
They just look. It's not a sin to look, is it?
Here you are.
Let me look in the mirror.
Pretty classy, aren't they?
Are you sure they're real pearls?
Of course they're real.
They just seem a little too white for real, don't you think?
No, I don't think.
Oh, don't get mad, darling. I just don't want anyone taking advantage of you.
He had never experienced such misery. Adam Trask had not been home long before tensions began to build up. They lived by a routine established by Charles, and he never varied it. He awakened on the stroke of 4:30 as surely as if the brass pendulum of the clock had nudged him.
Adam, it's time to get up.
Oh, don't you ever forget.
You can't lay in bed and run a farm. How many eggs you want?
Four. Every morning in the army, that damn bugle would sound, and I swore to God, if I ever got out, I would sleep till noon every day. Here I get up half an hour before reveille. Look at that snow.
It'll probably melt off when the sun comes up.
They don't have winter in California? It's just like spring all the time?
I like the winter.
You can raise anything there.
Sure, you can raise it. But when you got it, what are you going to do with it?
How about wheat? There is a lot of wheat in California.
The rust will get to it.
What makes you so sure? Things grow so fast in California, they say you have to plant and stand back quick or you get knocked down.
I don't know whether you notice it, but every other word you say is California. You want to go? Why don't you go?
I'll go when I want. This is my place, too.
Then why don't you do some work on it?
Will you tell me, Charles, what in hell we're working for? Take a look at us. Neither one of us has got a chick or a child, let alone a wife. The way we're going, it don't look like we ever will. We don't have time to look around for a wife.
You got knocker fever. Come to the inn tonight and get it cured up.
I never took much satisfaction in a whore.
It's all the same. Shut your eyes, you can't tell the difference.
Some of the boys in the regiment used to keep an Indian girl around. I had one for a while. She'd wash my clothes, and mend, and do a little cooking.
And the other? How was that?
Good. And kind of sweet. Kind of gentle and soft.
You got a funny look in your eye. I guess you were kind of gone on that girl.
I guess I was.
What happened to her?
Smallpox.
Heard about that? Indians can't stand smallpox.
It kills them. We piled them up like they were logs. Over 200. Arms and legs sticking out. We piled brush on top and poured coal oil on. You're burning the bacon, Charles.
It'll be crisp. I like it crisp. There was a school teacher, prettiest thing you ever saw. Yellow hair and such little feet. Sang too in the choir. And every young buck in the county took to going to church. Damn near stampeded the place. That was quite a while ago.
About the time you wrote about thinking to get married?
I guess so.
What happened to her?
Well, you know how it is. Women got kind of restless with her here. They got together. School board had her out halfway through the term. Feet no longer than that. Showed her ankles, too. Like it was an accident.
Maybe we ought to go away from here.
Are you still talking about California?
I guess so.
Then get out. Go to California. I want you off this place. Just get out, you son of a bitch!
Adam did leave. 3 months later, Charles got a colored picture postcard of the bay at Rio, and Adam had written on the back with a spluttery pen, "It's summer here when it's winter there. Why don't you come down?" 3 months later, there was another card from Buenos Aires. "Dear Charles, my God, this is a big city. I'm sending you a book." Charles looked for it all winter and well into spring, but no book came. Then, instead of the book, Adam arrived. Catherine, Mr. Edwards was as cold a business proposition as his whorehouses were to him. And as he had his technique, so she had hers. No matter what he did, Catherine always managed to seem slightly dissatisfied. She gave him an impression of restlessness, as though she might take flight at any moment. And then, when she delicately sensed the near approach of insane, punishing rage, she sat in his lap and made him believe for a moment in her innocence. He knew she was stealing from him, but Mr. Edwards didn't dare accuse her for fear she would go away. Catherine was aware that he was having her followed, but she also knew there was nothing for him to find. Catherine was clever. She made only one bad slip.
Oh! Darling, I wasn't expecting you.
I told you I'd come on Wednesday afternoon. Oh,
I completely forgot. I'm just on my way to the beauty salon.
Can it wait?
Darling, if you gave me money to hire a servant, I wouldn't have to go to the salon. You want me to look beautiful for you, don't you?
You're beautiful just as you are.
Darling,
I want to come in.
Oh, well, all right. I suppose I can go tomorrow.
I've brought champagne.
Champagne?
The very best. Nothing's too good for you, Catherine.
It makes me sick, darling. I've tried it. I can't drink it.
Nonsense. Just have one glass, it won't hurt you.
No. Thank you. I can't drink it.
It's not friendly of you not to have a glass with me.
I tell you, I don't want it.
This is silly. Do you want me to be angry with you?
No.
Then drink a glass. Drink it.
I didn't want to. Remember that.
She took the glass and poured it down. The blood flowed to her cheeks. She poured another glass for herself and then another. Her eyes became set and cold. Mr. Edwards felt a fear of her.
Maybe you'd better not have any more.
Doesn't matter now. Much more will make a difference.
It's nice to have a glass or so, but...
You fat slug.
What?
Do you think I can't read every rotten thought you're thinking?
I don't know what you mean.
You've been wondering, haven't you? You've been wondering where a nice girl like me learned all the tricks I know.
No.
Do you want me to tell you? I learned them in cribs. I worked in places you never even heard of for 4 years.
You don't know what you're saying.
Sailors bought me little tricks from Port Said.
You're drunk.
You thought your champagne would make me talk. Well, I'm talking.
No more.
I know tricks, all right. I know every nerve in your lousy body, and I can use every one of them.
No more. No more.
Go on, go. You'll be back for more.
Mr. Edwards went back to his office, and for the first time since he was a little boy, he cried.
Mr. Edwards.
Come in. What did you find?
I've been following her for 3 months. She hasn't met anybody, not a woman or a man.
You're sure of that?
She only goes to public places. Dressmakers, grocery store, beauty salon.
Pawn shop?
She only pawns jewelry.
Nobody visits the house?
Nobody but you. And I've been inside. There's nothing to show anyone else has been there. She keeps a lot of money in an oak box in the cellar.
I didn't think she kept it in the bank. Is that all you've got?
Except for this.
The Mashville Chronicle?
There's an article in there I think you'll be interested in.
Darling, I've been so worried about you. Where have you been?
I want to talk to you.
I want to talk to you, too. Darling, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was saying. None of what I said is true. None of it. You know how much I love you. It was the champagne. I told you I shouldn't drink it.
Oh, darling, will you ever forgive me?
Get your coat. I thought we'd go for a little trip.
Where?
Little town, not far from here. I have a business there. You told me once you wanted to work. You're going to work.
I don't want to now.
Or maybe you'd rather go to Marchville.
Marchville?
There was a big fire there about 5 years ago. 3 people were murdered. One of the bodies was never found. Remember that fire? You must remember it. You even got your picture in the paper.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to put you in one of the rooms at the inn here. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to move you to another inn in another town. And then another, until you're no use to me anymore.
Where are we going? There's no inn around here.
Just one thing I need to do first.
What? Oh!
What do you take me for? Huh? Bitch! What do you take me for? No.
While after Adam came back from his travels, the brothers would sit together in the evening and review old times. And for a while, they recounted times when they were apart. And finally, they relapsed into long, ugly silences. The hours of speechless work, the guarded courtesy, the flashes of anger.
You burnt that bacon again.
It's crisp, I told you. I like it crisp.
You like it burnt.
Look, Adam, can we just eat our supper and not have a fight this time?
Who's fighting?
What's that?
What's what?
I thought I heard something on the stoop.
Probably a cat.
I'm gonna need some water for the coffee. Can you go and get some?
If we had running water, I wouldn't need to go.
Well, we don't.
We could have running water, though.
Don't start up again.
But we could build a new house. Bathtub, running water, water closet. We got the money.
You can keep your fancy ideas.
It would be nice to go to the toilet without going outside.
Nothing wrong with going outside.
I'm going to be 30, Charles. That's half a life. And you?
Here it comes. Wasting your life.
I am wasting it, Charles. And so are you. We're not poor people anymore.
I don't want a new house.
Then maybe I'll build myself a pretty little house. Right over by the woodlot. Say, how would that be?
I don't want it on the place.
The place is half mine.
I'll buy you out.
I don't have to sell.
Then I'll burn your goddamn house down. Those goddamn cats!
What Charles saw when he opened the door was not a cat, but a dirty bundle of rags and mud trying to worm its way up the steps. One skinny hand clawed slowly at the stairs, the other dragged helplessly behind. There was a caked face with cracked lips and eyes peering out of swollen, blackened sockets. The forehead was laid open, oozing blood back into the matted hair.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's a girl. Give me a hand. Let's get her in. Here, here. Now look out for that arm. It looks broken.
Where are we supposed to put her?
We'll put her in my bed. You better go for the doctor.
Don't you think we should hitch up the rig and take her in?
Move her? Are you crazy?
For God's sake, Adam, think about it. Two men living alone, they've got this in their house? It'll be all over the county in 2 hours. How'd you know who she is? How'd she get here? What happened to her?
If you don't go, I will.
I'll go. But I think you're making a mistake.
Shh, shh, shh. Hey, don't try to talk. I'm gonna take care of you. Huh? Don't you worry. Is she gonna be all right?
Well, her left arm and 3 ribs are broken. Jaw's cracked. Skull's cracked. I've had to sew the scalp back together, clear down to the forehead. She'll have a bad scar. Who is she?
How do we know? We found her on the porch.
Whoever she is, that girl didn't fall under a harrow, even if it looks that way. Somebody did this to her. Somebody who didn't like her at all.
What kind of a person would do this?
I don't know, but the sheriff's on his way. Maybe he can find out.
The sheriff? He's not going to try and talk to her.
It's up to him. And she's pretty badly hurt. He's going to have to arrange for someone to take care of her.
I'm going to take care of her.
What are you talking about?
She can stay here.
What the hell's got into you? We can't have her here.
It's my place as much as yours, Charles. If she has to go, I'll go too.
Kathy lay in a cave of shock and opium. Over and over she saw the face of Mr. Edwards dissolve into murder. She had learned fear now. He knew about the fire. Did anyone else know? And her mind sniffed about like a rat looking for an escape.
She must have a name. Somebody must know her.
You heard the doctor. Her skull's cracked. How do you know she can remember anything?
Well, I guess we'll find out then.
No, I don't want you to...
Adam, goddammit. Doesn't matter what you want. I am the sheriff. And if somebody tried to kill her, then it's my job to catch him. Well, I can.
Just let him do his job, Adam.
Miss, I don't want to bother you, but can I ask you a few questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see? She wants to. What's your name?
I don't know.
What do you remember about what happened?
Black. I can't think.
Well, don't you remember who you are? Where you came from?
No. Mixed up. Help me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for trying anyway, ma'am.
Kathy was in trouble, and her mind ranged for a way out of it. Over the next few weeks, Charles watched uneasily as Adam took care of the girl they found on their doorstep. He cooked for her, going through recipes used by his mother and his stepmother. He washed her, kept her stitches clean, helped her onto the bedpan. Adam couldn't remember ever having been so happy, and he paid no attention to Charles's brooding presence. It didn't seem to bother Adam that he didn't know her name. She had said to call her Kathy.
Adam, is that you?
No, it's me, Charles.
Oh. Would you mind coming in here for just a minute, please?
What do you want?
I just noticed you don't come in much.
That's right.
You don't like me.
I guess that's right, too.
Will you tell me why?
I don't trust you.
Why not?
For a start, I don't believe you lost your memory.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. That's just why I don't trust you.
But why would I lie?
I don't know. But there's something about you that I almost recognize.
You never saw me in your life.
And how do you know I never saw you?
What are you going to do about me?
I'm going to get you out of here just as soon as I can. My brother turned fool, but I'm going to bring him round even if I have to lick him.
You're a mean man.
I don't think I'm half as mean as you are under that nice skin.
How long before you put me out?
About a week, 10 days. As soon as you can get around.
Suppose I don't go.
I think you will. Because when you had all that dope, you talked a lot in your sleep.
I don't believe you.
All right, then. Dope. But if you go, I won't tell what I heard. And if you don't, you'll know all about it. And so will the sheriff.
Charles went outside. Back at the hen house, he laughed and slapped his leg.
I thought she was smarter than that.
And he felt more easy than he had for days. Charles had frightened Kathy badly, and if he had recognized her, so had she recognized him. He was the only person she'd met who'd played it the same way as she did. She knew that her tricks would not work with him. Her money was gone. She had to be sheltered, and would have to be for a long time. She was tired and sick. Her mind went skipping among possibilities.
Adam.
You're awake, then. I went to the drugstore and got some painkiller. This will taste horrible. It's good stuff, though.
You're so good. So kind. I wonder why. I've brought you nothing but trouble.
You have not. You brightened up the whole house. Now, you just give that half an hour, you'll be feeling a lot better.
Oh, Adam, I'm afraid. I'm so afraid.
What are you afraid of? Can I help you?
I don't think anyone can help me.
Well, tell me and let me try.
Oh, that's the worst part. I can't even tell you.
Why not? If it's a secret, I won't tell.
Adam, I didn't ever lose my memory.
Then why did you say that?
Did you love your father, Adam?
I guess I revered him more than loved him.
If someone you revered was in trouble, wouldn't you do anything to save him?
Well, sure. I guess I would.
Well, that's how it is with me.
What happened, Kathy? Who hurt you?
That's what I can't tell you.
Was it your father?
No, but it's all tied up together.
You mean if you told me who hurt you, then your father would be in trouble?
Adam, I can't tell you anymore. You need to trust me. Will you trust me?
Of course.
You understand so much.
Oh, hey, it's all right. It's all right. Kathy, will you marry me?
5 days later, when Charles had gone to buy some calf feed, Adam drove the buggy to the kitchen steps. He helped Kathy in and tucked a blanket around her knees, then drove to the county seat and was married to her by a justice of the peace.
Why? Why did you do it?
Why not? Can a man get married?
She's no goddamn good, I tell you. She's a whore.
Keep your filthy mouth shut about my wife.
She's no more a wife than an alley cat. I won't live in the same house with her.
You won't have to. I'm going away. You can have the farm. You can stay here and rot for all I care.
Please, Adam. Throw her out. She'll tear you to pieces.
You're just jealous.
She'll destroy you.
How do you know so much about her?
I don't.
Then keep your mouth shut. Yeah, I brought us some tea.
I heard you arguing with your brother.
I won't let him say those things about you.
Why does he hate me so much?
You don't have to worry about that. We're getting out. We're going to California. Just as soon as you're well enough to travel.
I don't want to go to California.
It'll be Charles going out to the inn. It'll be good for him. He'll get a little drunk and he'll feel better.
You forgot the sugar bowl.
Oh, I'll just get it. Mm-hmm. The sun shines all the time in California. It's beautiful. The sea, the mountains. We'll get a piece of land.
Kathy got up and walked to the nightstand, looking stronger than Adam would ever have seen her. She picked up a bottle and measured out a teaspoon of the liquid in it.
Yeah, I've seen it in pictures. Can't wait to see the real thing. There you go. You want me to put the sugar in for you?
Thank you. Adam, tonight, Adam, I can't be a wife to you until I'm well.
I know. I'll wait.
You better drink this quickly. It's getting cold.
Pretty strong. Is it too strong for you?
I like it strong.
Does it taste a little strange to you? It's got a funny taste.
Doesn't taste funny to me. Go on, have some more. Oh, no, wait. I think you got the wrong cup. That was mine. It had my medicine in it.
I guess it can't hurt me.
No, it can't, but I hope I don't need to call you in the night.
What do you mean?
That was my sleeping medicine.
Charles came back at 11 o'clock. He went into his room, flung off his clothes, and got into bed. He grunted and turned, trying to get comfortable. And then he opened his eyes to see Kathy standing by his bed.
What do you want?
What do you think?
Where's Adam?
Asleep. Move over a little.
I already been with the whore tonight.
Move over a little.
What about your broken arm?
It's not your worry. Now move over.
All right, then. Poor bastard.
In East of Eden, Adam was played by Robin Lang, Kathy by Holiday Granger, Charles, Stephen Duffy, Cyrus, Jimmy Chisholm, Mrs. Ames, Anita Vitesse, Mr. Ames, Nick Underwood, and Mr. Edwards by Gavin Mitchell. The narrator was David Yip. East of Eden by John Steinbeck was dramatised by Donna Frances Child and is a BBC Scotland production directed in Glasgow by Kirsty Williams.